we haven't been this low in attendance for a long time, but about 20 people are over at Stillwater. The youth are ministering over there, so remember them today off and on as you think about them and lift them up in prayer. But we're glad that you're here today, and would you take your songbooks, please, and turn to page number 302. 302, Revive Us Again. Victories that you win here today will be because of Jesus. Victory in Jesus. 355. Let's stand as we sing it.
Precious blood, the door.
victory today, victory in Jesus, our Savior, our healer, our baptizer. Lord, we thank you for the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ today. Lord, we enter into that victory that you have already bought for us. Lord, we pray today that if there's any under bondage, that they would experience this victory, that you would set the captives free today, that they would be liberated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. They would leave here today saying, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Yes. Hallelujah. Lord, we just dedicate this service to you now and ask that your blessing and anointing would rest upon every part of it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Beth.
Let's stand as we sing a couple of choruses where we can just let the Lord know what we desire today. Lord, I'm hungry
for a mighty move of God.
Close your eyes. You don't have to, but when you close your eyes, you can, you're not distracted by the things that are around you. You can just think on Him today. Think on Jesus. You might have come with some needs today, and you're asking and believing that the Lord will take care of those needs. I believe He will, but I believe He meets needs as we look to Him, as we look to Jesus. We get the focus on Him, off the need, off the problem, off the circumstance of life, and just start focusing on Jesus. So turn your eyes on Him this morning as we sing it again. Shut yourself in. Let the cry of your heart be more of you, more of Jesus.
may be seated. I didn't know Bill and Beth Uni before last evening, but we had a chance to get to know them as they spent the evening with us, and it was a joy to get to know them. And I just sense God's spirit in them. And I'm going to ask Bill to come and introduce himself at this time. And then after a few moments, we're going to take a love offering from them, and then we get to hear the word of God. So God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. It really is a joy and a privilege for us to be here with you this morning. We are just so thankful and grateful for the invitation. We've so much enjoyed already the time with you, the Sunday school class. My, that was just an excellent, excellent study and a wonderful time in class and the time of worship together with you. And we've already enjoyed our day with you so far. We're looking forward to what God's going to be doing in this service and the service this evening. Let me just take a few moments to tell you about who we are, where we come from. Not that we're important. Jesus is the one that's important. But this way you kind of know who we are, so you're not wondering, well, where do these people come from and how they end up doing this and things like that. We actually pastored Assemblies of God churches for 20 years. We pastored for 8 years in Minnesota, in the Minnesota district, at New York Mills Assembly of God. Most people look at me as, where in the world is New York Mills, okay? And you've got that look on your faces, okay? So it's near Alexandria, Wadena, and Detroit Lakes. Usually that means absolutely nothing to people either. It's 80 miles southeast of Fargo, North Dakota. That's where we pastor. We pastored there for 8 years. After those 8 years of pastoring at New York Mills, we then came to Whitewater, Wisconsin, pastored for the next 12 years at Whitewater Assembly. And then 2 years ago, God turned our world upside down and called us into the ministry of an evangelist. You know, it's kind of funny, in those 20 years of pastoring, we had evangelists come and go through the church, and I never said it to any of them, but I, inside in my heart, said it to myself as I watched them come and go and watched their ministry and reflected on that kind of ministry. I said to myself, thank God you never called us to be one of them. Thank God you never called us to be one of them. And 2 years ago, God called us to be one of them. No one was more shocked or surprised than we were. But now that we have been doing this ministry for 2 years, we are thankful and grateful that God has called us into a ministry like this. We are truly thankful and grateful for all the doors that God has opened. And we are thankful and grateful for the things that God's been doing. Two things we find ourselves praying on a regular basis. One is, God, you've got to open the doors. God, if you don't open the doors, we've got no place to go. And we thank God for the doors that He's opened. It has just been phenomenal as God has opened doors week after week. We find the schedule is filled and we find that God has opened doors. And we are just so thankful and grateful that God truly has been opening the doors. The second thing we pray on a regular basis is this. God, if you don't show up, nothing's going to happen. God, we need you to show up. And we thank God for what He's been doing in each and every place where we go. It's not us, but it's God. And we thank God for the things that He has done. We're looking forward to what He's going to be doing here today. Just a couple of words regarding the ministry itself. As we were starting this ministry, God was calling us into this ministry. One thing became obviously clear at the very beginning. When you have a last name like ours, Uni, we knew that we could not call the name of the ministry Bill Uni Ministries. No one would have any idea as to how to pronounce the name of the ministry. They wouldn't know how to say it. We thought, no, we can't go in that direction. So we need a name for the ministry. And I think God gave us a name, and then He gave me an illustration to kind of capture the essence of the ministry that God had called us to. The name was to be Fresh Fire Ministries. And I think all of you at one time or another, you've had a campfire. And many times, in order to make a campfire burn brighter and hotter and better, what you'll do is you'll take a stick and you'll stir the coals. You'll stir the fire that's already burning so that it will burn brighter and hotter and better. And the Holy Spirit just whispered to me one day and He said, I am calling you to be like my stirring stick, to go wherever I will send you, to stir the fire that is already burning, to stir the coals that are already on fire, so they will burn even brighter and hotter and better. And so that is the foundation of the ministry. Whatever we preach on, in fact, in even our day here today, it's not a statement or indictment that whatever we are preaching on is not present. In fact, this morning we're going to be preaching on being on fire. There's a fire in this place that's burning in hearts and lives. There's a fire that's burning in this church. There is a fire. But God's desire is that we will be more on fire, that the fire will increase and intensify. And so that is the foundation of the ministry. And so let's make it our prayer that God will increase whatever we have already, and whatever we have, let it intensify. We come, wherever we go, we come on a free will, love offering basis. We don't make any demands or requirements on any church. One of the things that right at the very beginning of the ministry, we had said to God, we will go wherever you open the doors. We're not going to look to see how large the church is, how small the church is. We're not going to look at what size it is. But God, wherever you go, wherever you open the doors, we will go. And so we just come simply on a love offering basis, believing that God will supply and God will meet the needs. And you know what? God is faithful. God is faithful. God supplies. God meets the needs. He does it in your life. He does it in our lives. He doesn't rain it down from heaven, though. He uses his people to do it. But it's incredible how God just supplies and God meets the needs. And so we come here not making any demands or any requirements, but we've just come on a love offering basis, just believing that God will supply and God will meet the needs. We're truly looking forward to what God is going to be doing in our day together today. And once again, we thank you for the invitation. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. Pastor.
Our speaker that I put no time limits on him today, so we're eating here anyway, so just sit and enjoy the word of God as we partake together of it. God bless you, Brother Eugene.
Amen. Once again, thank you, Pastor. Let me, as the children are going down to Children's Church there, just quickly mention our table that is available back there in the foyer area. We have deliberately set it up so it will run itself, and so don't wait for somebody to come back there before you get a book or a tape or whatever. We've deliberately done it that way so it doesn't interfere at all with the altar service at the end of our services wherever we are. So there's a box back there. You'll find that box will have a little slot in there. You can put the cash in there if you're buying books or tapes, or if you're paying with a check, just make it out to Fresh Fire Ministries. Put it also in the same box back there. If you do need change, then come and find us. Otherwise, just kind of runs itself. Let me just mention a few things that are back there. We have a couple of books back there available that are written by Tommy Tenney. This has probably become the fastest selling book we have back there, called God Chasers. It deals with seeking God and seeking God's presence in our life. Very, very excellent book dealing with that subject. And this is the first week we've have his latest book out. It's called God's Favorite House, and it deals with worship, and it also further develops the idea of seeking God. And so two excellent books by Tommy Tenney back there. This one is by Ron Ock. It's called Seven Spirits of God, Examining the Biblical Meaning of Being Spirit-Filled. What does God want to do in our life after we are baptized in the Holy Spirit? What's he trying to develop in us? And that's the theme of that particular book. We have some books back there by Michael Brown, who's associated with the Brownsville School of Revival. One is called Holy Fire. Another book is How Saved Are We? And Whatever Happened to the Power of God is another one. So those are some of the other books that are available back there. All the books are available for $10. We have some audio cassette series. The back of the jacket will tell you what each one is about. This one's called River of Revival series, and these are also available for $10. There's two tapes in each one. We also have some music CDs and cassettes back there. I didn't bring any up there because last week people bought just about everything we had, and our new supply isn't here yet. And so we wanted to keep everything back there, but just look at what's available back there. The cassettes are $10, the CDs are $15. Then we have a sign-up sheet back there for our mailer. If you'd like to receive our mailer, please sign the sheet back there. We'd love to put you on our mailing list. It'll let you know what's happening in the ministry. Also, if you'd like to accompany us on a future missions trip, the way to find out about the missions trips are by signing up for the mailer, because the mailer would let you know where we're going, what the price would be. And we'd love to have you join us. We'd love to have you put your giftings for the Lord, for use in his kingdom, whether you're musical and you'd like to help with music ministry, or you'd like to help with altar ministry, or you'd like to help with canvassing or whatever, sign up for the sheet back on the sheet back there for our mailer. One last thing, last but not least, in fact, last but the most important, we have a card back there with our name and the ministry name and all of that stuff. But the main reason why the card is back there is this. This serves as our prayer card. We encourage you to please, on your way out, pick up one of the cards, bring it home, and put it somewhere where you'll see it often. Whether it's on your refrigerator, be by your telephone, or in your Bible, or wherever you put it, but put it somewhere where you'll see it often. And whenever you see the card, remember us in prayer. We are totally convinced that nothing of spiritual significance happens apart from prayer. Prayer is a key. Our Sunday school lesson this morning dealt with prayer. And we are absolutely convinced of that fact, that we must be people who pray. Beth and I, we must pray. But we also realize the more people we can get praying for us and the ministry, the more effective it will be. And so we're recruiting prayers across Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. We just sent out a mailer to the Indiana district. And as we go into that district for services, we'll be recruiting them too. And so join that army of prayers. The people who we gave cards to in the last weeks in the places we've been, they're praying for these services. Last Sunday we were in Hancock, Michigan. They're praying for these services. The week before that it was Oconto. The week before that it was Escanaba, Michigan. And so they're praying for these services. Now start joining that army of prayers and pray that next week, as we minister in Spooner, God will pour out his spirit there. The following week, it'll be Park Falls. Pray God will pour out his spirit there. And the week after that, it'll be Bloomer. Pray God will pour out his spirit there. And so join that army of prayers. Pray that God will use us wherever we go. Join that army of prayers. Let's stand together this morning, if we could, please. If you turn with me in your Bibles, please, this morning, to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3. Verse 11 for our text this morning, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. We do want to also say a very quick word while you're turning to that portion of Scripture. We do wholeheartedly encourage you to be a part of the services at Family Camp at Assembly Park this summer. We'd love to see you there. They have asked us to be the speakers at Family Camp this summer, and so we'll be speaking at Family Camp there at Assembly Park, and we'd love to see you there for the services. One of the things we're trying to do in these next weeks is go to as many of the churches in this particular area that is ministered to by Assembly Park, and that's why we're in Spooner and Park Falls, and we'll be in Washburn, and there's a few other ones in there too, and we've been in several of the other ones in the Assembly Park area, and kind of introducing ourselves to the churches. Now, we realize that can be both good and bad. People might hear us and they'll say, "Huh, we don't want to hear them anymore, you know, so we're not going to Assembly Park." But we're hoping it'll work the other way, that we heard them and it was good and we want to go to Assembly Park. But you know, the truth is, whether it's us or whoever it is, God will touch lives at Assembly Park. When you just get away from everything and you go to seek God, God's going to touch lives. And so we're not the important ones at Assembly Park either. It's just God's going to be there to minister, and we encourage you to be a part of those services. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, this is what the Bible says. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And this morning our theme is the fire. Let's pray together this morning. I would ask you to join with me this morning as we pray together. If you'll pray out loud with me this morning as we make it our personal prayer together, if you'll pray with me. Dear God, I ask you to minister to my heart and minister to my life this morning in this service. I thank you for all that you have done in my life, but I realize there is still more you want to do. I open my heart, I open my life, I open my mind, and I invite you to have your way in me today. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. This morning, we're just going to, for the sake of time, just dive right into the message itself. Our message this morning deals with being on fire and having the fresh fire of the Holy Spirit burning in our lives. You know, that term on fire can be a confusing kind of term, and people can sometimes wonder, well, what does that really mean? What is the meaning of that? How does that apply to my life? And we're going to endeavor to bring clarity to that this morning. We find in our text this morning quoted the words of John the Baptist regarding Jesus Christ, when in Matthew 3 and verse 11, John the Baptist said this regarding Jesus: "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." We find Jesus himself used the term fire. When speaking of himself in Luke 12 and verse 49, Jesus said, "I came to send fire on the earth." I came to send fire. This morning we want to look at fresh fire in Scripture. We want to look at fresh fire needed today. And we want to look at fresh fire falling today. And I trust that it's going to give us a greater understanding of fresh spiritual fire. I trust it's going to make us aware of our need of fresh spiritual fire. And I trust it's going to create within us a hunger for fresh spiritual fire. And then let's see what God will do as we come to the end of the service and allow God to minister to our lives. We realize this morning that an evangelist cannot bring the fire with him. An evangelist cannot bring the fire with him. We realize this morning that a pastor cannot create the fire. No matter how great he is, he cannot create the fire. And quite frankly, an individual cannot work up the fire. You can't sit there this morning and say, "Starting right now, I'm going to be on fire. Self, right now, we're going to be on fire. Starting right now, we're going to be on fire." It doesn't work that way. Only God can ignite the fire and bring fresh fire to our lives. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. But you and I, we can create conditions that are right for fresh fire. as we understand what it is, as we see our need of it, and as we hunger for it. So this morning, let's be open to God. This morning, let's be hungry for more of God, and let's see what God will do. 3 points that we'd like to look at this morning. First of all, fresh fire in Scripture. We find in Scripture that literal fire was one of the physical manifestations of God's presence. We find that throughout the Old Testament. We find one example of that in the New Testament. And then after the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost, we never find that again. Because after that, the fire, God's presence, would dwell within the believer. But we find throughout the Old Testament examples of fire being a physical manifestation of God's presence. Let me quickly list some examples. We find, for example, when God made the covenant with Abraham. It tells us in Genesis 15, there appeared a burning torch. We find that when God appeared to Moses on the backside of the desert, God appeared to Moses through a burning bush. We find that as God led the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage, how did he lead them by night? He led them by a pillar of fire. We find that when God appeared on Mount Sinai to give the Ten Commandments to the Israelites, the Bible says that Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. We find that when the Israelites worshiped God, how did God manifest his presence? Through fire he came and consumed the sacrifice. We find when Elijah set up the contest with the prophets of Baal and he said, "Let whosoever God is real answer by fire." Again, how did God manifest his presence? It was through fire. And we find again and again and again and again throughout the Old Testament that fire, literal fire, was a physical manifestation of God's presence. We find in the New Testament, the one example was on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, "There appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and it sat on each of them." Each time the fire is described or pictured as being robust, being fresh, and being powerful, the fire represented the presence of God. We also find this terminology of fire representing the presence of God, but in a little different way in other parts of Scripture, where the fire was used to picture the presence of God within someone. Let me give you two examples. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, Jeremiah said this, "His word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." Another example from the New Testament, Luke chapter 24. We read here where the resurrected Christ appears to the two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus and these two disciples have a conversation as they're walking down the road to Emmaus. And then at a certain point, Jesus goes his way, the disciples, they go their way. And in Luke 24, verse 32, it says, "The disciples said, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road? And while he opened the scriptures to us.'" Here the fire is used to describe God's presence within someone's life. But again, we find the fire was implied to be robust and strong and hot. Now let's look at the opposite for a moment before we go on this morning. In Revelation chapter 3, here we read of believers that had lost the fire. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3 for just a moment. Revelation chapter 3. Here we find a description of the church at Laodicea. The church that had become lukewarm. The church that had lost the fire. And Revelation chapter 3 verse 15 and 16 says these words, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you from my mouth." Then as we read in verse 17, we read of how they did not even realize it. Verse 17 says, "Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They saw themselves as being rich, self-sufficient, and in need of nothing. But Jesus Christ saw them as being wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. For a moment, let's stop and pause on the question, why? Why? What was the accusation against the church at Laodicea? Do we read of great immorality at Laodicea? No. Do we read of great sin at Laodicea? No. Do we read of great wickedness at Laodicea? No. The only accusation we read against the Laodiceans was they had lost the fire. They had lost the fire, and sadly, they didn't even realize it. I heard a quote recently that went like this. It's bad to lose it. It's even worse to lose it and to not realize it. And it's still worse yet to lose it, to realize it, and to not even care. One person one day, as they were confronted by the Holy Spirit about the spiritual condition of their life, they were quoted as saying this, I was scared that I wasn't scared. I was scared that I wasn't scared. They didn't even care when the Holy Spirit confronted them about the spiritual condition of their life. It's bad to lose it. It's even worse to lose it and not realize it. But it's still even worse yet to lose it, to realize it, and to not even care. Let's go to the second point this morning. Fresh fire needed today. As we read this account of the church at Laodicea, I think probably everyone in the sanctuary this morning could very readily, very easily agree with what I'm about to say. I think that as we read this account of the church at Laodicea, it could very easily describe the church in America today. That could very easily describe the church in America today. Reinhard Bonnke, who's an evangelist who travels around the world, he has watched Christianity in action in many places, many cultures, many countries. This is what Reinhard Bonnke said. He said, there isn't another place in the world where Christians are as prosperous and blessed, yet as spiritually barren and dry as North America. There isn't a place on the planet where Christians are as prosperous and blessed as in North America, but still as spiritually barren and dry as North America. Lloyd Ogilvie, the chaplain to the United States Senate, recently said this, our prosperity has camouflaged our spiritual poverty. Our prosperity has camouflaged our spiritual poverty. George Barna, the man who does the polls and the surveys and the research, he recently compared the church in America to the ship Titanic. He compared the church in America to the ship Titanic, and he said, I quote, it is large, it is elegant, and it is sinking fast. It is large, it is elegant, and it is sinking fast. Do you know that church attendance in America has slipped and gone down? They tell us that in the last 10 years, church attendance has gone down 9%. While the population of America has gone up 11%. Do you know they tell us that today there is no county in the United States of America that has a higher percentage of people churched today than it did 10 years ago? There's not a county in the entire United States that has a higher percentage of people churched today than it did 10 years ago. Someone's always going to say to that, though. We touched on it in Sunday school class this morning. There's always going to be someone who says, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You know, I heard an interesting response to that recently. Someone said, no, maybe you don't, but that's like saying you don't have to go home to be married either. No, maybe in technicality, you don't have to go home to be married, but that's not going to be much of a marriage. That won't be much of a relationship. Yeah, technically you can be married without going home, but there won't be much of a marriage there. Yeah, maybe in technicality you can be a Christian without being a part of a church, but there's not going to be growth or maturity or development or usefulness or productivity in the kingdom of God. Do you know they tell us 80% of church growth in America comes from transfers of membership? Well, 3,000 to 4,000 churches close every year in America. We close 50 to 60 churches in America every week. And all the while, 96% of adults in America say they still believe in God. 96% of adults in America say they still believe in God. Something is wrong with that picture. James Dobson said this, what it says is that most Americans are dabbling in religious expression that has no substance. Believing what they like, ignoring what they don't like, and creating a God of their own liking. That's a description often of American Christianity. You know what Augustine said centuries ago? Augustine said, if you believe what you like in the gospel and you reject what you do not like in the gospel, it is not the gospel you believe, but yourself. It is not the gospel you believe, but yourself. H.B. London, an associate of James Dobson, said this recently, I sincerely believe that if the church does not have an emotional revival, where we fall on our faces before God, weeping tears of repentance, asking each other's forgiveness, and determining to no longer quench the spirit, we are in for a long, bumpy road. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Today there are several evidences of the loss of the fire. Let me this morning just focus in on three of them. If you're a person taking notes, they all start with the letter P this morning. First of all, today the church lacks the power that the fire brings. The church lacks the power the fire brings. The early church, filled with the fresh fire of the Holy Spirit, went out in power. A question we can ask in America today is, where is that power today? I think Michael Brown in that book title captured it very well. Whatever happened to the power of God? Whatever happened to the power of God? Where is that power today? The signs, the wonders, the miracles, the supernatural. Oh, we see it on occasion. And thank God for every supernatural act of God we see. Thank God for what we see. And 1,000 times again, thank God for all the things we do see. But I think you would have to agree with this following statement. The church today, as it is not the church of the book of Acts as it was. The church today, as it is not the church of the book of Acts as it was. There is a hunger for the supernatural in the world today. There's a great hunger in society today for the supernatural. That's why there's such a great interest in the psychic hotlines. People are hungry for the supernatural. That's why there's such a great hunger in astrology. People are hungry for the supernatural. That's why there's such an interest in the occult today. People are hungry for the supernatural. There's a great hunger today, but the church as it is not meeting the challenge today. But this is the good news, and in every one of these points, there's a good news. It's great that no matter what the condition may be, God has a remedy, God has a solution, and there is a but God in every one of these. And this morning we say, but God. But God is trying to prepare the church for the miraculous once again. God is trying to prepare the church for an outpouring of the miraculous again. Someone said it this way, God is not satisfied with our being satisfied with no power. God is not satisfied with our being satisfied with no power. God wants to demonstrate His power through the church once again. Brenton Osgood from the Assemblies of God Theological Seminary said it this way. He said, "We believe that God is preparing His church for a worldwide revival, filled with a display of His power. The time of Christ's coming rapidly approaches. The church must be awake and strong and unified, praying, holy, and aggressively seeking to win the lost and be filled with His Spirit and power." That's what God is wanting to do in this day and age. Charles Hackett, the director of home missions of the Assemblies of God, said this: "We have to get back to power evangelism. With it, people can see the power of God really at work." He said, "I'm not talking about hype. I'm not talking about sham. I'm talking about the real thing, where people cannot deny that God did something supernatural." That's what God wants to do again. You know what I heard is an interesting definition of revival? This is what somebody said revival is. You know what revival is? Revival is when God gets sick and tired of us misrepresenting Him and He comes down and represents Himself. That's revival. When He gets tired of us misrepresenting Him and He comes down and represents Himself. We need the power that the fire brings. When the fire falls, power is restored. Things happen. The supernatural happens. Miracles happen. We need that power today, and we need the fire that brings the power. Second of all, the second P, today the church lacks the passion the fire brings, the second P. As you look at that early church, we find a people that were filled with passion. They were a people that were filled with a passion for Christ. We find they had a fire in their eyes. They had a fire in their belly. It was not a nationality trait. I can assure you this morning that early church was not that way because they were Hebrew or because they were Jewish. Quite frankly, this morning I can all in all confidence say it would not have mattered if that early church was Hebrew and Jewish or if they were German or Swedish or Norwegian or Finnish or Polish. It would not have mattered what their nationality was because it was not nationality. It was the fire of the Holy Spirit that was burning within their lives. It also was not a personality style. They weren't that way because that was their personality. But they had the fire of the Holy Spirit burning within their lives. You know, when we lack the fire, have you ever noticed that we can get pretty laid back about the things of God? When we lack the fire, we can get pretty laid back about the things of God. Apathy can so easily set in. We can find ourselves getting more excited about sports than about God. We can find ourselves getting more excited about recreation than God. We can find ourselves, and I don't know how anybody can be in this category, but we can find ourselves getting more excited about shopping than God. I don't know how anybody can be excited about shopping. But we can find that we get more excited about sports, more excited about recreation, more excited about shopping than God. Somebody said, you know, we can say we love God and He's the most important thing in all of our life. And we can spend all day sitting in a tree stand waiting for a deer to run by. But we can't spend 1 hour with God. But still we say God's the most important thing in our life. Something wrong with that. Or we can say God's the most important thing in our life. And we can get up early in the morning to go fishing. But for some reason, we can't get up early in the morning to pray. But God's the most important thing in our life. Or we say God's the most important thing in our life. And we can spend hours shopping in a shopping mall. But for some reason, we can't spend one with God. But He's the most important thing in our life. There's something wrong with that. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things in themselves. God bless every deer hunter. Hope you get one. God bless every fisherman. Hope you get your limit each time you go out. And God bless the shoppers. God bless them. Hope you find great deals out there. There's nothing wrong in those things in themselves if they do not become more important and more exciting to us than God. Because you see, this is the bottom line. God wants to be the most important and the most exciting thing in our life. In fact, let's go one step further. Anything that is more important to us or more exciting to us than God is an idol. Anything that would be more important or more exciting to us than God is an idol. God wants to be the most important and the most exciting thing in our life. Vance Havner, a Baptist evangelist, made a very interesting comment regarding passion. Vance Havner said this: the same church members who yell like Comanche Indians at a ball game on Saturday sit like wooden Indians in church on Sunday. He said it has nothing to do with being conservative. That has to do with the sad fact that most believers are more alive to the world than they are to Christ. Now you see, there are differences in personality. Some people are going to be more reserved at a ball game, and they're going to be more laid back as they watch a ball game. And in their worship style, they'll be more reserved too. There's no problem there. There's no contradiction there. Some people, on the other hand, they're all excited about a ball game. But then when it comes to the things of God, they sit like a statue. That is a contradiction. That is a contradiction that is not acceptable. When the fire falls, things change radically. Believers act like believers. They worship like believers. They respond like believers. And this is the bottom line. It was touched on in Sunday school from a little different perspective. But for you and I, there's a whole lot more for you and I to shout about in the house of God on any day than they have at Lambeau Field to shout about on their best day. You see, you and I, we've got more to shout about on our worst day than they've got to shout about on their best day. And they haven't had many of those best days recently. But this is the bottom line. You and I, we've got more to shout about on our worst day in the house of God. We need that passion restored. We need that passion restored. Watchman Nee said this. Listen carefully to the quote. Watchman Nee said, by the time the average Christian gets his temperature up to normal, everybody thinks he's got a fever. When the average Christian gets their temperature up to normal, everybody thinks they've got a fever because the temperature level of Christianity is so low. So then when it does get to where it belongs, everybody thinks they're sick, but they're just normal. That's where it's supposed to be. When the fire falls, passion is restored. Thomas Trask, the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God, said this past summer at the General Council. Thomas Trask said, and I quote, "We need a fervor in our hearts, so we are red hot or white hot with passion for God. Call it zeal, call it fervency, call it passion, but let it come to the church again. We need that passion. We need that fervency. We need that today. We need the passion today." And then thirdly, the last P, the church lacks the purity the fire brings. Purity and fire have always been associated together. To purify gold and silver and ore, what do? You put it in fire. Fire purifies. In fact, the words purify and purge comes from the same Greek word that fire comes from. When the fire falls, purifying takes place. The fire keeps us clean. The fire burns up sin. The fire is a refining process in our lives, and we desperately need the purifying that the fire brings. We desperately need that in the church in America today. Do you know statistics and observations show that generally speaking today, there is very little difference between believers and non-believers in America? Very little difference. They go to the same places. They do the same things.
They watch the same things. They talk the same. They act the same. George Barna, the man who does the polls and the surveys, he did a research project recently where he asked a series of questions. Let me just use two of the questions to illustrate the point. He asked the question of people regarding taking home things from the workplace that belong to the workplace and should not be taken home. Taking stuff home from work that belongs to the workplace shouldn't be taken home. We're talking about a fancy name for stealing. That's what we're talking about, stealing, okay? Do you know his research showed that 43% of non-followers of Christ did that? They brought home stuff from work that didn't belong to them. 43%. You say, well, they're non-believers. They don't live by the book. They haven't given their lives to the Lordship of Christ. But do you know that his research showed that 37% of those who say they are born again do the same thing? 37% of Christians took stuff home from work that didn't belong to them. Let me give you another example from his survey. This question dealt with calling in sick to work when a person is not sick. Calling in saying, I will not be in today because I am sick. But the person is not sick. They go fishing or golfing or do whatever they're going to do. You know what we're talking about here? A fancy name for lying. We're talking about lying. You know, his survey showed that 37% of non-believers did that. 37% of non-followers of Christ did that. Say, well, they're not followers of Christ. Okay. But do you know the research showed that 27% of born-again followers of Christ in America did the same thing? 27% did the same thing? George Barna said there should be at least a 40% difference in the way believers and non-believers respond to those questions. There should be a radical, radical difference in the responses to that question. You see, when the fire falls, purification takes place. The Bible says in Malachi 3:2, he is like a refiner's fire. He's like a launderer's soap. And you know the good news in this is that as this purification takes place, do you know what it leads to? It leads to joy, because a pure heart experiences the presence of God. Let me theologically set the foundation for what we're saying. God is always present in the life of a believer. God's always present in the life of a believer. How do we know that? Because the Bible said, he said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He said, lo, I am with you always unto the very end of the age. God is present in the life of the believer always, whether they sense him or not, whether they realize it or not. Quite honestly, whether they believe it or not. If they're a believer, God has said he would be present in their life. But we may not sense that presence because of the crud and the stuff that gets in the way. That crud and that stuff, it may be sin. It may be distractions. It may be the busyness of life. It may even be things that are not wrong in themselves, but they just hinder us from experiencing the presence of God in our lives. Let me illustrate it this way, using the illustration Gordon Anderson from North Central University uses. Gordon Anderson used this illustration. You have a car that's fully functional in every way. You have a battery, it's fully functional in every way. You hop in the car, you turn the key to start the car, and nothing. Nothing happens. So you pop open the hood, you go look inside the engine, and as you look inside, you discover the problem. There's corrosion on the battery posts. So you clean the corrosion off the battery posts. You hook it back up again. You go in the car, you turn the key, and boom, the car takes off. We could, for a moment here, let the battery represent God, the source of the power, presence. And we could be represented by the engine. But contact is not made because of the crud that gets in the way. But we get rid of the crud We get rid of the crud. We get rid of the sin. We get rid of the crud that's there. And we will sense the presence of God. We will sense the power of God as we get rid of the stuff that is in the way. Another illustration he used was this. You can take electrical wiring. You can take electrical wiring that is surging with electricity, surging with power, surging with the presence of electricity. But as long as that wire is insulated with a rubber insulation, you can touch the wire and you're not going to sense the presence of the electricity. You're not going to sense the presence. You're not going to sense the power. But you strip away the insulation and then touch the wire. And oh, you're going to sense the power and you're going to sense the presence of the electricity. Oh, yes. For 8 years, as we said earlier, we pastored in New York Mills, Minnesota, middle of dairy farming country. I'm from Wakefield, Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Nobody farms up there. Too far up north, too cold, the winters are too long. I knew absolutely nothing about farming. Beth is from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. She's from the city, and she knows nothing about farming. Neither one of us knew a thing about farming. Boy, did we have an education when we went up there. Oh, yeah, we could tell all kinds of stories of things that happened on the farm and around the farmyard. But one of the most interesting things was this. One of the families, they milked about 120 cows, and they had a huge pasture, and they had an electric fence around that pasture. And I don't know why, but their youngest son had a very bizarre thing their youngest son used to like to do. I'm not sure why this young boy would like to do this. He was about 4 or 5. And he at this time when it was happening, but he'd love to go out to the pasture. And he'd love to grab that electric fence. And he just would love to feel that surge of that electricity. And you know, they had a very appropriate nickname for the little boy. You know what they nicknamed him? They called him Buzz. Because he used to love the buzz on that wire. You know, oh, he loved the buzz on that wire. But you see, the thing was, he sensed the electricity. He sensed the presence and the power of the electricity. Because there wasn't any crud on the wire. There wasn't any crud on the wire. You and I, we need to get rid of the crud. We get rid of the crud. And we let the fire purify us. And we will sense the presence of God. And you know what the Bible says? It says that in His presence, there is what? There is the fullness of joy. In His presence, there is the fullness of joy. Fresh fire is needed today. When the fire falls, it brings power, it brings passion, and it brings purity. Listen carefully to this quote. The kingdom of God will not be advanced by our churches being filled with people. The kingdom of God will not be expanded by our churches being filled with people, but by people in our churches being filled with God. That's the key. Not filling our buildings with people, but filling people with God. Thirdly and lastly, fresh fire falling today. Today, God's Spirit is beginning to move in wonderful and refreshing ways. In this land, in various places and areas, touching the church once again. And as the fire falls, there is a restoring of power, a restoring of passion, and a restoring of purity. Sadly, many get distracted from the real issue. They begin to argue and criticize about what God's doing here, God's doing there. Leonard Ravenhill, the great revival writer, said this. Leonard Ravenhill said, the church has been subnormal for so long that when it finally becomes normal, everybody thinks it's abnormal. The church has been subnormal for so long that when it finally becomes normal, everybody thinks it's abnormal. When it's really the church becoming what the church was intended to be. The real issue this morning is not what is God doing somewhere else, but what does God want to do in our life? What does God want to do in my life? What does God want to do in your life? The bottom line is fresh fire is falling today, and God wants fresh fire to fall on your life. Let's not miss it today. Let's be open. Let's be hungry. Let's be persistent. I can guarantee you, no matter who you are this morning, no matter who we are this morning, and no matter where we are at in our spiritual lives, this fact is true. None of us has seen it all. None of us knows it all. And none of us has it all. Doesn't matter who we are. None of us has seen it all. None of us knows it all. And none of us has it all. There is more that He wants to do in you. There is more that He wants to do in me. There's more that He wants to give to you. There's more that He wants to give to me. Let's let the cry of our heart be, Lord, we want more. We want more of Your fire in our life. We want more of You in our life. Lord, we just want more this morning. God, we want more. Let's not turn Him away, but let's let fresh fire touch our lives today, bringing that fresh power, that fresh passion, and that fresh purity, and increasing the power and the passion and the purity that already is in our life. Fresh fire is falling today. Let's not miss it. Let's not miss it. Let's not let it sweep by and find years down the road we missed it. Let's not let it pass us by. Let's pray together. Beth, if you come to the keyboard this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You this morning. Father God, we thank You for who You are. We thank You, Father, for what You're doing in this place. Father God, we thank You for all that You've already done. But, oh God, we realize this morning there's still more that You want to do in each one of our lives. And, oh my God, this morning we just pray that we would, Father God, give You an open door, give You an access to our lives. Because, Father God, we realize that You will never force Yourself upon any of us. You will never ramrod Your way into our life, but You will only move and work and minister as we open the door and we allow You to work. Father, we pray that this morning we would not quench the Spirit, but we would allow Your Holy Spirit to touch our lives. Father, we realize that in ourselves we can't do anything, but Father, we realize that Your Holy Spirit can do wonderful things in lives this morning. And oh, Father, we just want to give to You that opportunity this morning. And Father, we ask and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me all across the sanctuary this morning. Everybody standing, unless you're physically unable to stand this morning. We're going to ask you this morning as we work our way through two different altar calls to just be please be patient with us this morning. Just be patient. As the pastor said earlier, dinner is awaiting downstairs, so you don't have to go home. You shouldn't have anything ready to catch fire on your stove. And so just be patient and let's give God an opportunity to work this morning as we come to the end of this service. The first altar call this morning has three parts to it. I don't know anyone here. I don't know the spiritual condition of your life, and I don't know what God is doing in your life, so let me start at the very beginning this morning. In a moment, Beth is going to sing the chorus, at the cross, and the words go, I know a wonderful, wonderful place where the accused and condemned find mercy and grace. And that's at the cross, at the cross. First of all, maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, preacher, you've talked about being on fire for God. You've talked about the fire of God. But I don't have God in my life. I don't have the fire of God in my life. You see, if we don't have Christ in our life, the Bible says we are separated from God. The Bible says we are spiritually dead. And the Bible says that when this life is over, we do not have a home in heaven waiting for us. But contrary to public and popular American opinion, there is a real place called hell, and very real people go to that very real place. If you're here this morning and Christ is not in your life, He stands with His arms wide open, inviting you to come this morning to give your life to Christ. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't let it slip by. The moment Beth begins to sing the chorus, we're going to ask you to step out of that pew. We're going to ask you to come and stand in this front area. And then we're going to pray together and you can invite Christ to come into your life. And you can leave here with a relationship with God. You can leave here with Christ living within you. You can leave here with a fire in your life. You can leave here knowing that you've got a home waiting for you in heaven. But He won't force any of it upon you. It comes as you allow Him to come into your life. Second of all, you might be here this morning and you'd say, "Preacher, I at one time gave my life to Christ, but I've walked away from that commitment. And I need to recommit my life to Christ." Because you see, just because we gave our life to Christ years ago, if we've thrown Christ away, we've thrown that relationship away, it doesn't do us any good right now. We need Christ in our life right now. He needs to be in our life right now. And so if you need to recommit your life to Christ, we're going to ask you to come in the same altar call. Don't miss the opportunity, but you come in the same altar call this morning. And then thirdly, this morning you might be here and you'd say, "Preacher, I've got Jesus in my life, but I've also got sin in my life. And I need Christ to cleanse me. I need Christ to wash me. I need Christ to change and transform my life." We're going to ask you to come in the same altar call. You see, nothing is going to suck the fire out of your life faster than sin. And if we've got sin in our life, Christ is ready to forgive us. And Christ wants to change us and transform us. We're going to invite you to come in the same altar call. The moment Beth begins to sing, you just come. Don't let pride keep you back. Don't look to see if someone else is coming. If you're to stand before Christ today, He's not going to ask you why the person next to you didn't come. He'll ask you why you didn't come as He was giving you the invitation. You come this morning if He's speaking to you. Just begin to come down the aisles and come and stand in this front area. Then we're going to pray together. And then after that, we'll go into the second and the last altar call of the morning. But don't miss the opportunity and don't rush off without participating in that second altar call. But give God a chance to work in your life. If you need Christ, you come. You need to recommit your life to Christ, you come. You need cleansing and forgiveness from sin in your life, you come this morning. Don't miss the opportunity. Beth, if you'd sing the chorus, come this morning. Come if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, you come this morning. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity this morning. You come this morning.
Find mercy, come this morning. And grace.
Hallelujah.
The wrongs we have
oh,
done,
Jesus.
And the wrongs
oh, Jesus.
Done to
come
us.
This morning. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you come this morning. You need Christ. You need to recommit your life to Christ. You need cleansing from sin in your life. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity. When the chorus is done, this altar call is done, so come quickly this morning. Don't miss the opportunity. Be bold. Don't let pride keep you away. Men, women, boys, girls, teenager, young person, whoever you are, you come this morning. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Where the
Spirit speaking to you, come quickly. The chorus is almost done. Come quickly. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity.
He died for our sins at the cross.
Oh, Jesus.
He gave us life again.
Hallelujah. 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 We're going to ask those at the altar this morning if you will just pray with me this morning. There's nothing magical or mystical in these words, but I can guarantee you if you mean them, Christ will forgive you. Christ will cleanse you. Christ will do a work within your life, not because I say so, but because He has said He would. And so if you will pray with me this morning, just pray out loud with me. Dear God, I admit that I have sinned.
I ask you to cleanse me,
to wash me, and to forgive me.
And I ask you to change me,
and to make me into what you want me to be. I thank you that you have forgiven me, You have cleansed me. You have washed me. And you are changing me. I receive your grace and your mercy. And I say thank you. Amen. Amen. Just take a moment in your own way to just say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for cleansing. Thank you for forgiving. Thank you for the changes you're making in our life. Thank you for the things you're doing. Thank you for the work that you're accomplishing in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those at the altar, you can just feel free to stay right there. We're going to go into the last altar call of the morning. This morning, we've been preaching on having fresh fire burning in our life. And this morning, we want to just close this service by inviting you, as Beth sings that chorus again, that chorus that said, light the fire again. And if you want prayer this morning, and I can't imagine anybody not wanting prayer for a fresh touch from God. But if you want prayer for a fresh touch from God this morning, we're going to invite you to step out of that pew when she begins to sing. We're going to invite you to come and stand in this front area. Then we're going to ask the pastor to help me, and the pastor and I, we're just going to mingle among you, and we're just going to lay hands on you, and we're going to pray for a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit upon you, and that fresh fire will touch your life. Do you know how many lives these hands can impart fresh fire to? None. None. Absolutely none. But you know, there's something very biblical about laying on of hands and praying for people, and He will touch you with His fire. He will touch you. Some of you, you may leave here radically different than when you came in. That thing may be instantaneous, and you leave here radically different than when you came. Someone else may leave and think, well, it seemed like nothing happened. But in the next few days, it seems like just something begins to work inside as God begins to further that work in your life. I can assure you of this fact, that as you take steps towards God, God is going to take steps towards you and meet you at the altar. Whether the work is instantaneous or progressive, this book says what? Draw nigh unto God. And what's He going to do? He's going to run from you. No, He's going to draw nigh unto you. As you take steps towards Him at the altar, He will draw near to you, and He's going to touch your life. But He won't force it on your life. It only comes as you invite Him and you welcome Him. And so that's your part, to come and say, yes, Lord, I want more of you, as we sang. I want a fresh move of God in my life. I want God to go and do a work farther and deeper and greater in my life than ever before. That's your prayer, we're going to invite and ask you to come this morning. And then after that, it's purely up to God, because I can't do it. And a little secret, as great as your pastor is, he can't do it either. Neither one of us can. We're totally dependent on Him to do anything from this point on. It's purely got to be Him. We're just going to mingle among you, lay hands on you, and pray for you, and believe that God touches your life. Doesn't matter which one of us pray for you, because neither one of us can do it. It's only Him. So we're just going to mingle among you, and we're going to pray, and you stay as long as you like. You feel free to go downstairs and eat whenever you want to go downstairs and eat. But there's no official closing or ending. And so, Beth, you sing the chorus, and you just come, and we'll just stand in this area down the aisles, and we'll just begin to pray for you as you come.
Don't let my love grow cold.
Hallelujah. Just come.
I'm
begin to come down
out.
These aisles this
Light
morning.
The fire
come if you want
again.
Prayer this
Don't
morning. You just want a fresh touch of God. You want fresh fire
out.
To touch your life
Light
this morning. You come
again.
This morning and give God the opportunity. He's not going to force it on your life this morning. But if you give Him the invitation,
you know
He will touch
heart,
your life.
Deeds,
you come this
I'm
morning and give Him that chance.
Light
and as you come, just
again.
Wait in His presence and just begin to seek Him. And the pastor
I'm
and I are just going to mingle among you and pray
light
for you and lay hands on you.
Again.
And let's let God touch our lives this morning.
I am here to buy gold, refined in the fire. Naked and poor, wretched and blind, I come. Clothe me in white. love grow cold. I'm calling out, light the fire again. Don't let my vision die. I'm calling out, light the fire again. You know my heart, my deeds. I'm calling out, light the fire again. I need your discipline. I'm calling out, light the fire again. I am here to buy gold, refined in the fire. Naked and poor, wretched and blind, I come. Gold me in white, so I won't be ashamed. Lord, light the fire again. You know my heart, my deeds. I'm calling out, light the fire again. I need your discipline. I'm calling out, light the fire again. I am here to buy gold, refined in the fire. Naked and poor, wretched and blind, I come. Clothe me in white, so I won't be ashamed. Lord, light the fire again. Lord, light the fire again. Lord, light the fire. Lord, light the fire. Refiner's fire. cleanse me from within and make me holy. Purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin deep within. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be. shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power.